Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. That was a delay. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Empowerment Place Ministries and Using My Keys. This is your host, Valerie Burrell. Grateful to have another opportunity to share relevant teaching, relevant conversation concerning love. We've been talking about love all month long. Last night we had couples sharing about what it takes to make marriage work. And one of the things we touched base on, and we didn't go into a whole lot because we were anticipating tonight, is the topic of the blended family. And I'm grateful tonight to have with me Chris and Sharnice Moore, who are joining us tonight to share their experiences with the blended family. So, Chris and Sharnice, thank you so much for being with us. If you would take a moment to just sort of introduce yourselves and share with the people a little bit about yourselves.
Well, thank you for having us. Thank you for this platform and all that you do for your audience. Thank you for allowing us just to share our experience, and hopefully that whatever intent that the Lord has for this show, that it will bless some people. We are, as mentioned, Chris and Sharnice. We have a blended family, and folks tonight that we'll be able to share some of our we're not going to say issues or problems, we're going to say some of our opportunities. And hopefully to help and bless some of you guys as well.
Yes, this is Sharnice Moore. And what we have is basically, we have, like, again, he said, blended family. I have a 15-year-old daughter, a 10-year-old son from a previous relationship, and he has a 12-year-old son from a previous relationship.
Amen. I was just listening to those ages and all the different emotions that those age ranges go through. Amen.
Yeah,
yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, by definition, a blended family is when a couple comes together, a husband and wife come together, with children from previous marriages, relationships, and they come together as one. And as a husband and wife become one, that family also becomes one. And in the society that we live in now, the definition of blended family has been so, I don't even know what word I want to use, but it just messed up. I'm going to just say messed up in the way that children have two mothers or they have two fathers. And you know, everybody needs love, and I ain't bashing nobody, but we have to be mindful of what we're instilling in our children so that they can build healthy families. And we're not going to touch on that because that's a whole nother page. But tonight, when we look at love in the blended family, because I'm a mother and a wife, and you know, my husband and I refer to ours as the Brady Bunch because I've got three grown girls. He's got two boys and a girl, but they're all adults. But even with them being adults and we coming together as a family, there were still some challenges. So, you know, Sharnice, I'll start with you. You have the two. You have the son and the daughter coming in to this new family. What did you find, or what did you experience, was the first opportunity that made you feel some kind of way, or was there that first opportunity that made you sort of look at your kids like, okay, what is going on with you, and then look at your husband and go, okay, honey, what are we going to do with this?
That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that question. Yeah, talk about it, Sharnice.
Well, actually, it's funny. We actually had a recent situation like that with him and my daughter. And you know how teenagers, girls are, you know, sometimes they have their mood swings, they have attitudes. So, you know, the way that I deal with her is sometimes different than the way he deals with her. Whereas, you know, I'm a woman, so I can identify, excuse me, like, with her emotions. And it doesn't, I guess you could say it doesn't bother me as much, but him being technically her dad, you know, and
right.
a daddy girl. So if she does something that he feels is disrespectful, which it was, the way that she was talking to him at that point, you know, his emotions are more, I guess, intense than mine are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, what do you do in that situation? It's because, of course, you're not taking sides at the same time. You also have to have that conversation with your child to let them know, okay, this person is your dad. They take care of you. They take care of all your needs. You need to respect this person. You know, this is your dad. This is the person that is the head of this household. So you have to respect them and watch what you say and how you say things. So we have to have that kind of conversation because at first, they both sit there, they both are upset, and it's intense. So it's like you do sit there like, what do you do? Like, how do you get in between that? You know, but basically I had to have that conversation with her privately. And ultimately, you know, it took a third party sometimes, somebody that has been through the experience with a blended family. Sometimes it helps to talk to someone else that has went through it before to kind of help and guide you to basically come up with a resolution. So I would say that it ultimately worked itself out. Chris, do you feel that way?
Yeah, I think it just wore a pair of jeans.
It does. I'm sure that it worked itself out. But
I think it, and it's also one of those things where I think some of the emotions that come along with it is just simply whether it's a blended family or no, some things are just going to happen. And I think it has a lot to do with just the difference in how people are raised in general.
Mm-hmm.
With the blended family, I mean, it's a lot. I was told, I remember when I first got in church years ago, and this then this lady who I was probably in my early 20s, this lady, she was in her 30s, and I think she already had 3 children. And my then pastor said, he said, you may want to reconsider that. And I, you know, me being young, I'm thinking that he didn't want me to date this person, whatever. But he mentioned about, and their terms was called a ready-made family. And so he was indicating that you have to be very careful with that. And I didn't understand what he meant then until probably 15 years later now, which I totally understand what he was saying. A relationship already is difficult, seemingly as though because you have 2 people from 2 different walks of life who are raised differently to come together and try to find some common ground. And to make it even more interesting, when you have blended family, you have 2 individuals who are raised in their families totally different, and different doesn't always mean wrong for one or the other. It's just raising different because of how you were raised, and then now to try to find common ground for you and your children, and then the children for the parent, it's challenging, but at the end of the day, does it mean that it's impossible?
Yeah. I can understand that. And Sharnice, when you were sharing about you pulling your daughter aside and sharing with her about how she needed to respect her father and to receive him as such. You didn't mention how you talked to Chris about it.
Now, that that was interesting because she had to learn me and being in a relationship. She's learning, like, some things about me. You know, he's just a spoiled brat. He's pouting. And but what she did, and I guess I had to learn. I'm learning how to deal with that, because raising a son is totally different than raising a daughter. And so how she dealt with me was how I could deal or handle the situation differently, instead of reacting to her and the manner in which she responded to me, kind of, hey, Chris, you got to be the adult about it, versus allowing her to bring you down and you respond just the way she responded. So she was kind of like a referee, you know, hey, telling, you know, of course, Monte to, you know, I didn't know their conversation, but at the end of the day, also telling me that, yeah, it's going to, you know, we're going to be this way. She's trying to get me to understand the female aspect of life, where, you know, I was always raised to, you know, be the hard man and whatever, but and to not have an inside scoop of how females are wired.
Right. Understood. So coming into that, and I thank you for your candidness with the response. As you stated, it's very different. First of all, how the husband and wife, the parents, how they were raised, and then how they had been raising their children prior to coming together. Is there ever a time, and can you speak to how you engage with the children without seeming overbearing? Because, you know, I've had my children say, well, he's not my dad. He's your husband. You know, I don't have to listen to him because he's not my dad. And that would just burn a hole in me when I hear that, because that's really, to me, setting a stage where the kid sees, oh, okay, well, you're going to let me disrespect him. So if I can disrespect him to you, then I'm going to try my luck with disrespecting him or her. And that's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you engage without seemingly being that overbearing parent? Because sometimes it's hard. It's hard to accept that new mom or dad. What do you do? What do you suggest?
Well, I guess with our children, it was a constantly reminding them. It's like you always had to have that conversation with them. Like, especially if you start seeing different cues of them about to be disrespectful, or if you see certain behaviors that you know that they should not have, or you know they're about to go there, like, don't go there. Like, you know, it's like you have to keep, it's almost like you got to keep reminding them, keep having that conversation with them of what's right and what's wrong. It's almost like when you potty train a child. It's like they go trying to go one way, but you have to keep guiding them to the potty. You know what I mean? So it's like,
mm-hmm.
that was the same
mm-hmm.
thing. It's like we had to keep, well, I know at least with my daughter and my son, you have to keep trying to remind them, you know, this is the person that's in the household. You have to respect him. And then you got to keep reminding them, too, how much he do for you. Because a lot of times children don't realize or be grateful for what they get because sometimes you have people in relationships with men, and half the time they don't pay the children no mind. They don't buy them anything. They don't take any interest in what they do. And so I have to also constantly remind my children how grateful they should be, because he always is always in their life, always interested in what they're doing. He genuinely cares about their grades and the different activities they're in. So, you know, it's like you got to also remind them of that too and make them realize, oh, wow, yeah, you're right, especially with their biological fathers not being there for them like they should. They should be even more grateful. So it's like you have to do that constant reminder.
Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I think a lot of it has to do. Let me back up and we are, you know, knock on wood, we're very fortunate when it comes to that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at it overall, I don't think in terms of being disrespectful. I think it's a thing of just children being children.
Mm-hmm.
Children are going to test the water no matter if it's a blended family or it's the alternative, the single family, if you will, lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
I think children are just going to, they're just naturally going to test the water. And that reminder has to be there whether you are the biological parent or no. But I think when it comes on my side, a lot of it had to do with, one, in the beginning, just learning to respect an adult in regards to who they are, so that it becomes much easier to respect that step-parent, or in this case, Shawnice. And then with my son, he's used to sharing me anyway, whether
okay.
it's at church or some type of activity. I'm one of those people, wherever I go, I am busy doing something. And so he's used to sharing me. So it wasn't one of those things wherein, okay, I'm not used to sharing my dad. So it became easy. It was, I guess, second nature for him to have his dad shared. Now, yeah, I'm sure if he was to talk, it was a little different because I'm sharing my dad for the moment. Now I'm sharing my dad for life. But again, it goes back to letting him see and reminding him what this other person means. And not only that she has a special interest in you, she cares for you genuinely, and you know, just kind of continue to put it on the spotlight of what this person means to you and what they do for you, and that, you know, this person, they're there, and you have to respect them as a parent.
Yeah, that's good. Shanice, you brought up something that becomes interesting as well. With the family unit. And I appreciate your responses, because as much as we are talking about a blended family, the truth of the matter is when you come together, although you are blended, you become one family unit.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that. And I think last night we probably talked about it a little bit, about how often you hear the parents refer to the children as, oh, this is my stepchild, this is my stepdaughter, and this is my stepson, when in fact, no, this is your daughter, and this is your son, this is your wife, this is the husband, we are one family.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
You know, with that, because you are one family, and because the children were brought into this relationship. How do you handle the external relationships? How does that play? And the reason I ask, because with me, when my middle child was younger, and she would go and spend time with her father on weekends when it was his weekend, when she came back home, I had to battle with some stuff for like a day to get her back to a place of normality in my household because of the influences that she had been subjected to outside of my home. So is that something that you ever experienced? And if you have, how do you cope with that?
Well, he'll speak to it too. But I think the only one that we have that issue with is my son, our younger son. Whenever he would go with his father for an extended period of time, sometimes he would come back a little different. And yes, we had to bring him back to reality or the way that we do things in this house. So we have experienced that. And also what we have to tell him currently at the age that he is now is that whatever goes on in our house, stay in our house. Basically, don't go telling our business that happens in this house to other people, including your father. Because what happens in this house is none of his business. You know, it's okay to tell, you know, how you're doing at school or, you know, things that have something that directly that deals with you. But when it comes to whatever else is going on in the household, you know, should stay in the house. So we have had to recently tell him that. You know, so it sometimes it can be a little shaky when you're trying to you're trying to make sure they stay structured. And then they have a different way they do things at their house. Sometimes it can be a little challenging. So, again, it's almost that reminder of bringing them back to reality kind of thing. Yeah. Chris, you want to add to
Chris? I guess. I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to see if you had anything to share.
Oh, yes. I guess one, looking from a different side, when I think of the original question was dealing with the ex. I used to have this philosophy back in the day. There can only be one star on the show. And once you walk off the set, you lose the privileges to the set, and so therefore you can't come back to the set trying to call shots as if you're the star of the show. So once you move over and there's a new star, your privileges are gone. And so when it comes to my son, when he comes here, he's with me and the star of my show. And so you can't come trying to run what happens here. When it comes to my son, we don't really have too many external issues. It's just a matter of, you know, I think we kind of battle with getting them to be, I guess, to help with taking care of him. But in terms of kind of getting into the business of what we do, I don't think that we have that issue, do we? No. Okay, she didn't look at me crazy. So we don't have that issue. No, because sometimes, you know, I can think once, but think, oh, everything is all fine and dandy, and, you know, on the other side, well, it may not be, but no, I think it is. She didn't give me a look. That's very important to anyone who's looking to have that, who's getting ready to embark upon the blended family, making sure that the ex know their place, because they're ex for a reason. And people try to have control of you outside, and as long as you allow them to do so, they will be like a remote control in your life. They will, you know, they because they've been with you. They know how to trigger your emotions. They know what to say and what to do to get you off course. And they will try to do that on the outside. But just as much as we got to let them know where their place is, we got to pray over ourselves to make sure that we are completely over that person. And that has a lot to do with it, making sure that we our past is our past and that it's not a part emotionally of our present, and it doesn't dictate our future.
That's good. That was good. That was good. You lost your privileges to the set. I'm gonna use that again.
You no longer star the show.
Woo! Yes. Wow. So this is good. We've talked about the role, of the parents and engaging with the children. How have you watched the progression with the children embracing each other as brother and sister? How does that work? Is there one that's more apt to receive the other? How is that for your family?
No. What I like, I guess like sitting back, I used to think that, that Sharnice is, and I say her son because just trying to understand the conversation. I used to think that her son and my son would be closer because they're boys. But I find that, it's interesting. You would hear, my son going over to, her daughter, and she's like the big sister to him, giving him female advice, and then you'll see her sitting there sharing her male woes. I don't know why she have any, but anyway, that's a different story. But it's like they have just jailed as brother and sister. And what made me know that they have grew to that place, Shawnee's younger son last Christmas was giving his Christmas list to his father. And he asked his father to get his brother, my son, something for Christmas. Now, that moment right there was a defining moment of oneness in his life, because he could have easily, as he done in times past, gave his list of only things he wanted. But for him to be mindful, hey, Dad, my brother wants, or can you get my brother this? And I think it began to register to him, I want you to get something for him because his dad gets stuff for me.
Mm.
So they have begun to gel as brother and sister, I believe, and it's getting better. It's getting better.
Yeah, I agree with that. All three of them really, and they also, you could tell too because they all protect each other. Like sometimes.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure they do stuff wrong when we're not here, but they always protect each other or they'll cover each other. Like it's very rare. I'll get a call about somebody doing something wrong or somebody coming to me and say, he did this to me or she did that to me. Like, I hardly get any of that. Where before, maybe a couple years ago, they would come running to Chris or me about he did this, she did that. We don't get that anymore. So that also kind of shows us that they are gelling very well as a family, the brothers and sisters.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's good news. That's good news. I think that it's important to realize that whatever place you're in, if you're in a blended family now, or if you're contemplating a marriage which will result in a blended family, that the blend happens when the mother and father say, "I do." That's the blend. But once you mm-hmm. said, "I do," it's no more a blend. You become one. And I know the last. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The last wedding that I performed, we did a sand ceremony, where the bride and groom had sand, and I also had sand to represent the God factor in their union, and how when they each have their separate piece, and I had the white sand representing the purity of God in the relationship, how beautiful the sand came together in one jar, and it was a beautiful piece of art. And I think that's the same thing that's representative of our families. When we are separate and come together, then it makes a whole new beautiful thing that is recognized as one unit.
Yeah, and we did the same thing. But what we did as the family, we all had different colors. All five of us had different colors. And we poured in our individual colors, and it began to blend. And it was beautiful. And actually, we still have it, and that's in our dining room. And it's a symbol of the family having been united. And just kind of going back to something you said about the blend, I believe once you accept the fact that this is the person that you are going to be with, and you begin to introduce the families to each other, I believe that's when the blend starts. Just like a blender.
Mm-hmm.
When you start putting the ingredients into the blender, and then when you hit the button, that's when the thing started blending. Things started to come together. Sometimes, you know, you may hit a rough spot in the blending. You may hit a piece of ice that's kind of hard, and you got to shake it up, and, you know, you got to stop it, and, you know, you got to keep doing it over. But at some point, that blender is designed, and it even sounds like sometimes you're going to break the blender. You know, sometimes you feel like you just want to stop and start over. But at the end of the day, the blender is designed to get everything blended together. And, you know, that's kind of the thing we went through. You know, sometimes, you know, it began to make some noise. It began to, it even stopped, you know, a couple of times. But at the end of the day, what was in the blender, you know, ended up becoming just one thing in which we desired in the end. And it's still blending. We still blending right now. But it's not as, you know, the blade is not hitting as many hard spots. You know, you still every now and then hear the little clicking in the blending, but at the end of the day, you can tell the difference each time you look at from the outside. You look at it, it's getting better.
Yeah. The longer you put it in, the longer you keep it in the blender, the finer each piece gets until it looks like the smooth thing that you desired it to be when you put everything in.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So what else, Shanice? What would be some keys that you would share with someone entering into a new family, bringing in all the different blends from external relationships, what will be some of the keys that you would render to the audience on tonight to be successful?
Yeah, I definitely would say they definitely need to pray about it to make sure that that is something they want to get into, because going into or blending families together is really hard work. I mean, I don't know of anyone that had an easy blending. I mean, it could be, but again, you have different personalities going into it, so you definitely need to pray about it to make sure that it is the right relationship for you. And are you willing to deal with the different personalities? Are you willing to deal with the exes? Are you willing to just deal with things that you're not used to dealing with? So it definitely takes you praying about it and staying in prayer. Because, you know, a lot of times people go to other people for advice, and a lot of times you need to just pray about it. I know it sounds kind of cliche, but it's true, because a lot of times God will show you or guide you in the right way of what to say in certain situations, what to do in certain situations. So that's definitely one of the key things. Also, you want to make sure that you try to get to know the person's background and how they were raised. Because, again, that was one of the things, too, because we both were raised differently. That's when we came to some bumps, sometimes in a row when it came to raising our children, because I was raised one way, he was raised another. So you have to find that compromise of how to raise both all the children. So that, too, you want to make sure you know as much as you can about a person's background and how they were raised and things they have done with their children prior to you coming into that relationship. So I would say those are the main things.
Anything you'd like to offer? Any keys you'd like to offer?
I guess just to echo one, most importantly, because we are a Christian family, that there is a scripture that says, with God, all things are possible. And so with God, a blended family, even in its difficult times, is possible. And aside from that, just simply having an open mind, because it's, and I had to struggle with this, because I was only open to what looks similar to me. And when you're in a relationship, it's you're coming with a person who only you're coming in a relationship with someone who was not raised the way you were, and then now they have children who are not raised the way you're raising your children. Having an open mind that there is some type of, you know, civilization outside of your mindset. Just having, you know, an open mind that there is something other than the way you were raised, and accepting the fact that it's not wrong. You know, because I believe that, you know, as much as I think I was raised right, you know, I believe there was some error somewhere. And yeah, that's it.
That's good. This has been good, because I'm certain, as you all were sharing, I was thinking back to some of the different things that I faced with my children, and the outside influences and the different things that would try to bring havoc into my current situation. And I'm grateful for what you both have shared on tonight to really help empower all of us, and empowering us, I think just being able to talk about it with yourselves allows you to hear things clearly as you all continue to have success with any opportunity that presents itself in the wholeness of your family, that we're all stronger because you all took the time to share with us tonight.
Thank you, and I hope that, you know, I really hope that someone really got something out of it, you know, as we open up our home, our lives, our situations, hopefully someone will be encouraged, and it will help them if they are embarking upon doing such, or they're in it and don't know how or what to do, or, you know, they're having some obstacles or challenges. Hopefully this will allow them to, you know, to find some guidance and direction so that, you know, they could continue to go in that direction and, you know, we'll work them together.
Amen. Well, Chris, if you don't mind, if you would pray us out tonight. Thank everybody for logging on the online. I'm going to place this on Facebook and share it. If this has been a blessing to you, ask that you share the post so others can hear this wonderful dialogue, because it has truly been a blessing. And Chris and Sharnice, I want to thank you both again so much for being with us at the Empowerment Place on tonight to strengthen our lives and our love one for another. And Chris, if you would close us out, I'd appreciate it.
Wow, okay. Let us pray. Actually, before we pray aloud, I'd ask that whoever under the sound of my voice would just take a couple of seconds and whisper a prayer to the Father that only you can tell him. Before we pray collectively, go and talk to the Father individually. Father, first we come telling you thank you. We thank you for everything, for you said in your word, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of the Father concerning you. Father, we thank you first for this day. We thank you for life. We thank you for health. We thank you for strength. Father, we thank you for, first, the things that we so easily take for granted, food, shelter, and clothing. Father, we thank you for this platform. We thank you for allowing us this moment of discussion. We thank you for you are the example of love. You're the example of life. And, Father, for that we thank you and we love you and we appreciate you for that. Father, we thank you because actually in the beginning, your son was the example of a blended family, as Joseph was not his biological father. And, Father, you were actually showing us that it could be done because you did it first. Father, we thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. Father, I pray right now that you will give them guidance and direction. We thank you, Father, for the host of this show. Father, that you will continue to give her the wisdom, the ability, Father, to just continue to show love, to show love, to show love, because that's what we need in this day and time, Father, some love. You said they will know you by the love they have one for another, and her love is showing. She's an example of love. She is spreading it through this ministry. Father, we just ask right now that those who are embarking upon blended family, those who are in blended family, Father, that you will just continue to lead and guide and direct them, that anything is possible. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As always, listeners, we encourage you every day to do something to empower yourself. After you've been empowered, we ask that you take the responsibility to empower someone else. But ultimately, we've got to know that we are the key to our own empowerment. So this month, we've been asking that you empower through love. As we've shared all month long, let's continue to love, for love does truly cover the multitude of sin. We thank you so much for joining us, and God bless. Until next time.